Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench on a paper Friday, going out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, bad seat, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad rap, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny got out of the hospital, and now she's in a rehab center, and she loves when I get her the Khalifa Kush drip for her coffee in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion show, get up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fight the fights, a party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, the sounds of town, and my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do me, drag out. Hey, what's gagging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight. Toll free the number to get on the bench, 844-843-6879. To get benched. Wax up. You're either with us or you aren't. Boy, did I watch a good game tonight. The Nets over the Pistons, 113-111. I was on Coast to Coast today on the TV side, and I said, Mafia, if you'll remember, that I said the Pistons will cover the 5.5, whatever it was. And then I said to you that not only that, I said they can win the game. I said if Harden doesn't play, they can win the game. And I said, I think they'll cover either way. And then Harden did play, and he went off in that game. And they beat him by 2. And at one point, and we had a lot going on before the show, and he ended up with 44. He went 14 of 30 from the floor, 4 of 11 from downtown. He had 14 rebounds and 8 dimes. And I think he fouled out at the end. 44 and 14, the double-double, as James Harden, the beard, carries the Nets. How about Blake Griffin in his return to the Motor City? 17 points, 5 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 2 from downtown, 3 boards, 2 assists, and he got into it with his old teammates. I don't know if you saw it, but there was some feisty, testy stuff going on the floor in this game. I know that players got thrown out. I mean, there were guys getting thrown out of the game. I can't keep track of all the guys that had problems in the game. I had a lot going on before the show tonight. I had the game on, right, and I saw somebody get thrown out, and you know, it was, the bottom line was Blake Griffin was getting into it with the dude. The dude got all chippy and then got thrown out, so I don't know who it was, but so he was getting into it with their bench, the Pistons bench, and he was talking, the whole thing was happening. And there was some extracurricular activity. There was, you know, a little bit of, you know, a little taste of violence tonight. But the Nets got the W. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, USA, Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday with Mafia. 844-843-6879. To get on the bench. So 113-111 was the final, and I wish I had a exact thing, like a Jeremy Grant had 19, and so Isaiah Stewart appeared to give Griffin a shot to the head with his arm. After a review, Griffin received a technical foul, and Stewart was called for a flagrant and ejected. It was Stewart that got ejected. But everything, it was crazy this game. Jordan had 10 points and 9 boards. Harden's 44 were the most by a Brooklyn player this season. And there you go. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He really is unbelievable, Harden. I got to tell you, like, it's the weirdest thing, too, Mafia, because when he played on the Rockets, I could give a damn about him. I just thought he was, you know, ISO ball, hero ball, and playoff failures. That's all I think of him. When I think of, you know, the beard, I think all he does is lose in the playoffs. You get him in a game 6 or a game 7, he melts down like an ice cream cone. And he never gets it done. That's all I ever thought of him. Then he came here to Brooklyn, and I got to watch him play every single night, every game. This guy is, I mean, what a badass. This guy's game is so sickening. He scores at will on anyone. It does not matter who is guarding him. It doesn't matter if he goes into the trees. It doesn't matter where he goes. He just puts it in the hole. And then he drops dimes like nobody's business. And tonight with the 14 rebounds, you got to be kidding me. What a performance from James Harden.
So many sports, so many memories, so many players, so many teams, so many great matchups, so many possibilities.
Now, are you really going to pass all that up?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday. So, first of all, Mafia, do I sound better now?
Much better.
All right. You know what I felt like tonight before the show? I felt like all those Elon Musk spaceship launches that blew up. You know, when they kept putting the rocket on the launch pad and then the thing would, like, blow up right on the launch pad or, like, right after it, like, left the launch pad. You know, where, like, it just, the minute it, like, was supposed to happen, it, like, blew up or whatever. Did you feel at any point tonight that there was some level of frustration going on, Mafia?
Some level. How about all levels?
How was my language during that hour?
Deplorable, as always.
Was deplorable. My language was deplorable. Now listen, I'm not blaming anyone for anything. I just the equipment I blame, right? So it's like the spaceship. So the equipment wouldn't work. The equipment wouldn't cooperate. The equipment was this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem. And then eventually
I start turning into Bob Knight. It's just this. And you know what's even funnier is that I think I had every right to, like, I'm not apologizing for my language tonight. And I'm not apologizing for getting mad. Don't even tell me that wasn't aggravating. Don't even tell me that you weren't upset. No, I don't think you were as upset as I was. But I was upset. And then I felt like one of those spaceships that just blew up. Nothing worked. I couldn't get anything to work. So I had about enough of it. You know what? I felt like even that, what's his name? The guy that got thrown out of the game for the Pistons, Stewart. He felt like he got jobbed in that call. I actually saw the parts of the game I saw. I thought Blake Griffin was actually kind of being a D. I thought he was being a D. And like getting in, it was the weirdest thing, right? Like, so what? He went back to Detroit. They honored him. He came out of the huddle and waved to all the fans and, you know, gave him the thank you, the heartfelt thank you for his time, his 3 years in Detroit. And they cheered him. Everything's fine. Then the whole game, he's like getting in fights. Like, there was tension and there was shoving and there was guys in each other's faces. And then there was, he was like talking to the bench. Every time he scored, he would say something to him. When he was, you know, running by the bench, he'd start talking, saying stuff to him. And none of it was pleasant. It was all nasty. So I don't understand that. Like, I thought he actually had a good time there. Like, you know, he had a good relationship there. He didn't have problems. There was nothing, no big deal. You know, he played there for 3 years, and I think he averaged 20 points a game. That's pretty solid, right? You know, people don't realize how hard it is, frankly, to drop 20 a night in the NBA consistently, where that's your average, right? And Mafia, you know as well as I do how hard it is, like when you average whatever, 10 or 12 or 15 points, to hit that number every night in every single game. You can't have an off night. You can't have, you know, two or three off nights and your average drops down significantly. You have to hit that number every night. And it's hard to do every night. People don't realize how hard it is to drop 20 every night in the NBA. And that's just all there is to it. So I didn't focus on. Right. Like, they knew, first of all, he didn't have problems in Detroit. He dropped 20 a game, 3 years. He had this, that. He had some injuries, whatever, per usual. He's always had injuries. But for the most part, he had a good run there. And they liked him. Everyone got along with him. And then he leaves and they buy him out. He goes to the Nets. And then, you know, a month later, he goes back to Detroit to play a game tonight. And it got everybody all kinds of worked up. Like, it was about Blake Griffin tonight. It was about him coming back. It was about him being grateful. And then it was about him being a D. He was, like, into it. And there was, it was like, it came out, like, right on the floor. You could see that there was tension and that there were problems. And that, I mean, it was like he was the enemy. He was no longer their friend. He was no longer their teammate. He was the enemy. And he was the guy that the Pistons were trying to beat. I actually don't believe that they were trying to beat the Nets tonight. I think they were trying to beat Blake Griffin. And it didn't work. And Harden was the reason it didn't work. And Griffin had a big game. And the Nets won the game. Like they, you know, do. Like they do. They win. I got to tell you, man. I said it before. I'll say it again. Watching that guy play every night is such a, it's a commodity. It's like such a pleasure. It's such a, it's like a gift. Being able to see someone play like that every single night. It's probably, you know, it's no different. See, the difference is, like, we get to watch. I think the world gets to watch, or, you know, at least this country for sure. But, you know, where we live in America, whatever, you can watch pretty much LeBron James play every night, right? You can watch him play just about every night. It is no joke that the Lakers are you tell me, Mafia, are their games like literally, it's like, what, 80 or 90% of their games are on national television?
Yeah, TNT might as well just be the Laker network.
Right, so fair enough. You would argue that ESPN and TNT air every chance they can LeBron James. Every chance.
Absolutely, 100%.
So the difference is what I'm asking you is, when you get to watch him every single night, you see, obviously, you know how good he is, and obviously, it becomes second nature. It's just it's just automatic. You just know you're watching LeBron play. Every game he plays is on national television, and you're just used to it. You're used to watching him go off. And then the thing is about Harden is we never really saw that. The Rockets would be on when the playoffs came around. They'd be on, and you'd watch a 7-game series, and then you'd watch him lose, and you'd be like, "Wow, Harden's a piker. He never gets it done. He's a loser. He never gets it done." You can guarantee one thing's going to happen here: the Rockets are going to lose. And then, they'd win a game or two or three, and then they'd still lose 4-3. Or they'd win, two games, and they're losing six, losing seven. They always lose, right? So you were just like, whatever, James Harden doesn't matter. You're like, every time I see him, he loses. So it's easy to make fun of him. And it's easy to say he's a piker and that he never gets it done. So then I went through that phase. For sure, I was in that category, right? So then the guy is now playing here in New York, and I live in New York, and we watch him every night now, and I am just flabbergasted at how good he is to watch play every single night. Like, I got to tell you, I'm not even kidding you. He's more fun to watch for me, hands over fist, than LeBron James. And I think LeBron James, you've heard me say on TV, on Coast to Coast, on Pharrell on a Bench, whatever, for years, you've heard me say that I think he's the best player in the world, and that when he's done playing, he'll break every record ever in the NBA. All of Michael Jordan's records, everyone's records. He's going to own every record in the history of the game when he's done playing. He's not even done. He's not even close to being done playing. It's Pharrell on the Bench. With the people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on a Bench on a pain-free Friday. So what I was saying is that I think I've grown accustomed to watching LeBron after all these years of his career. Every night he's on TV, and I've said over and over, I think he's the best player. His game all around, his all-around game, everything, both ends of the floor, as a defender, a shot blocker, a trailer, as a ball control, passing, shooting, finishing, going to the tin, dunking, teammate leadership, captain, whatever you want to call him. There's no one, frankly, that I've ever seen do all of those things like he does. Now, again, I lived in Chicago for 3 years when they won at the Bulls. For three of the years I was working in Chicago at Sports Channel, and it was something else, right? Like, it was really a trip. And they were just dominant. And it was a dynasty for sure. And Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were just absolutely unbelievable. And what's even more is that, I was friends with Rodman. So I was a huge fan of his and friend of his. And this is at the time, right? And so I think the world of what the Bulls did. I thought it was really cool. Then I lived in L.A. for three with Kobe and Shaq. So, and I was out there going to games at the Forum and at Staples, whatever. So here I am now watching LeBron, right? And I'm just telling you, my specialty here, my prerogative, my choice, my dinner entree choice, my pick is LeBron. And, you know, for my money, all around, just completely all around. And I, believe me, Michael Jordan was so amazing, it's not even funny. But for me, when it's all said and done, I think LeBron will end up as the greatest player I ever saw because it just never stops. You know what I mean? Like, I have to say, you know, when Michael came back and won three more and got six, right, he was still dominant. But after that, it was kind of, you know, I thought at the end it was kind of embarrassing, right? So I hope that LeBron doesn't get to that point where it's like embarrassing, you know, where it gets to be like, why is he doing this? And then, you know, I think that's the point where he wants to play with Bronny, where he's going to be, whatever, 40 years old and playing with Bronny, right? Because that kid's going to be playing in the NBA probably. My guess is they're going to give him a free pass right into the NBA. And, you know, I think he wants to play with his kid. I think his kid is going to be really good. And I know that he is good. But I've seen him play. And, you know, that documentary I watched about his team, like, I just did not think he was that good. And I don't even think. I know it. Like, he wasn't doing anything. He didn't do anything on those. He did nothing amazing on that Sierra Canyon team. But I, fair enough, he was a freshman, sophomore, whatever. I'm sure junior, senior, he's going to be incredible and unstoppable, and then he'll maybe he'll go to college, maybe he won't. Who knows? Maybe he'll go straight to the NBA. Who knows? I don't know. But when he was the freshman era, I didn't think he – I don't even think. I know he didn't do anything. I watched. So whatever. I don't want him to get to the point where he's, you know, at the end where he's just shot and he's still out there getting paid to – play and he's just not good. Like, because I thought at the end Michael was that way, right? And but I know right now, at his age right now, he's still absolutely unstoppable. You cannot stop him. He can do whatever he wants every night to anyone. There's no one that can stop him. And that's just all there is to it. And then the difference is what I'm saying is that I think he's the most incredible player I've ever seen do everything in the game, literally everything. Like, I kind of felt like Michael just, you know, was a great defender, amazing, and an absolutely phenomenal above the, you know, above the rim player. Just, you know, he flew through the air and had these miraculous dunks and spin moves and reverses and stuff that were just sickening. I mean, he made Dr. J's reversals look boring. That's how good Michael Jordan was, right? So then along comes LeBron, does all this stuff, and everybody says he sucks, and he can't hold Michael's jock because he doesn't have six titles and everything else. But I think all around, that's just my vote, is he's a better player. And fair enough, that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think Michael's amazing. He's, you know, absolutely sickening. But here's the deal. What I'm trying to drive at here is that I like watching Harden play better than both of them. And I never even liked the guy. Right? Mafia, you know that's true. I never liked Harden. I thought he was a loser. I just thought the guy, all he did was lose. You never heard me say anything good about him. I'd be like, well, the guy can score 40 a night, but he never wins, so what's the difference? He's a ball hog. Right? The bottom line is he's ISO hero ball hog, scores, you know, triple-doubles every night, has 30, you know, 30, 12, and 10, and then he, you know, never wins. He never wins. He sucks. So if you don't win, you suck. And then you heard me say it a million times, right, that I didn't think he was anything to worry about. Like, he was the easiest guy in the world to beat in the playoffs. It was automatic he'd lose. But you've heard me say that, right? I mean, admit it. You've heard me for years say I thought he sucked.
Every year. Every time they flopped out, you ripped them and talked about how You know, he's a great stat stuffer, but he's not a winner. You know, he can get all the trophies he wants, all the MVPs. He's never going to get a title.
So then, now what I'm saying is that you just heard me. You just right. heard me say on this show tonight that he's, I like watching him play better than Michael Jordan and LeBron James. How drunk do I have to be? Mafia probably thinks I'm back on the sauce. Can you believe I just said that tonight, that I'd rather watch Harden play?
I can't believe that. I mean, I get that also. I think for you, it's like you said that you were in Chicago. You saw Michael all those years. You know, we have LeBron shoved down our throat game in and game out on national TV, that you didn't get that with Harden. So now you're actually getting to see him, you know, more than just once every 2 months on national TV, you know, more than the times that he's playing the Warriors and the Lakers. And it's, you know, I think too with this team and the Nets, you know, what we didn't see him do in previous years is, with him being ball dominant, you know, we've always seen him control the ball, but you had Chris Paul and you had Westbrook, who were so also ball dominant. I think, you know, Kyrie actually standing up and saying, hey, listen, you be the point guard and, you know, get it to me when you can, you know, when he actually plays, of course, has let him really go to a different level that we get to see through the last, what, 5-6 years of him playing with CP3 and with Westbrook, because those guys were always controlling the ball. He was bringing it up a lot, but those guys were the point guards. Now he's playing point guard and making those other players a lot better.
You're right. And you know what's weird, dude, is that here's the thing. When he played with all those guys, he literally has mowed through all of them. CP3, Westbrook, it goes on and on. Don't get me started on how many guys I think that he's actually, you know, peed off. You know what I mean? I think he's alienated. He's such a ball hog. And such a ISO hero ball guy that when I watched him in Houston, I'm not talking about OKC when he was young. I'm talking about in Houston where he made his bones. He actually, I think, turned people off. I don't think, frankly, I never saw anyone that liked playing with him. They just knew that they were, you know, running up and down the court watching him do everything. He did nothing for anyone else. Then, all of a sudden, this guy comes to Brooklyn, and they said, you remember when he came here, they all said the geniuses, all these national media guys and NBA guys and writers and broadcasters, they all said the same thing, that you name it, TV, radio, writers, podcasters, whoever, they all said, it'll never work because you cannot have two people that are as big a ball hogs as Kyrie Irving and James Harden play together. And then Durant has to have the ball. He scores 30 a game. It'll never work. Meanwhile, everywhere he's played, like in Houston, you cannot tell me that they liked him. It was like watching a guy play by himself, and his teammates just didn't give a rat's ass about him. They just went along with it. Gordon hit his threes. Tucker hit his threes. I seen him play with Ariza, all these other people. And they all just knew, you know, Capella, they all knew that they were going to get their little teeny piece. But they never got the big, you know, they got one piece and he ate the whole cake. He gave him a taste, but he ate the whole cake. And then when he came here, I am telling you, that dude has made every single guy better. And I've said this on here, Claxton, all of them, Brown, Harris, Jordan, you know, even that hack Shamit. And then every single guy on that team. TLC, it does not matter. He's made them all better, and he's dished the ball. He's had 17 dime games. He's had triple doubles out his ying. The guy and his teammates, without a doubt, I watch him every single night play, every night, and they all love him. They all love him in Brooklyn. Don't tell me they don't love that dude on that team, because they all love him, including Kyrie and Durant, everyone, the coaches, all the players. The worst player on the team loves him. And I think he's a great teammate now, so everything I thought of him in the past is wrong.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art
of sports talk.
This
is The Winning Edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey. So, Pharrell and Mafia on the bench. Do you think I'm crazy mafia to say these things about Harden, because I know you may not get into it as much as I do. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you do get into it as much as I do. I know that I watch every game, and I don't know if you watch every game. I know you watch tons of games, but I don't know if you watch him every single night when he plays. And I mean to tell you, I've never seen anything like it. Like the way he plays, the grind, the banging, the willingness to go to the hole and go into the trees. And I swear to God, I think he's fat. Like, I don't even, he's like the plumpest, fattest. Like, I think he's totally like too heavy as a point guard, right? Like, when I think of a true point, I think of CP3, right? And that guy looks like he's a tank. He's so heavy looking. But meanwhile, he just go, and I think he actually uses it to his advantage. He goes in there and just bangs, and it does not matter who hits him. He has body control, and he gets, you know, I think, you know, square to the basket. He can get hit and take shots off of that pudgy body of his and still finesse the rock into the hole. Like, he's got total mind and body control of his size and his skills. Like, the way he scores on runners and flicks and shovels and, you know, little shovel, he'll shovel it up and in, he'll float it up and in, he'll teardrop it up and in. He has different angle shots. He has all these different angles that he can hit with his touch. Like, I've never seen anyone score like that from everywhere. Like, to me, Michael Jordan hit jumpers and he dunked, right? And LeBron James is a step back, dagger, or drive rim finisher, right? But this other guy, this Harden guy, Mafia, honest to God, what doesn't he have in his bag of tricks?
Yeah, I mean, the guy has, you know, like you said, it's not like he's the biggest guy. It's not like, you know, we talk about KD. It's like, well, of course, you know, him, LeBron, guys like that, they're so big, you know, different ways. LeBron's obviously tall and jacked. You know, KD's so lean but so tall. You know, he's like a center in a guard's, you know, skill set. So it's impossible to stop him because he just rises over you and shoots. He's not a big guy. He's not, you know, a guy that overpowers you. He just knows how to use his body in the perfect way to keep you from blocking a shot, to keep you from defending him the way you want to and getting the ball off the way he wants to do it. And, of course, we all know about the, you know, the hooks and all those little, you know, nuances that he knows how to do in order to get to the free throw line as well. He doesn't have the perfect, you know, prototypical all-star best player ever body, but he just knows how to use his body and his athleticism that he has and what he can do with it.
Do you think that he's like, how much do you watch him? Like, do you watch every single Nets game that he plays in, or do you just watch him like once or twice a week?
I watch once or twice a week. I don't watch every single Nets game. You know, I'm a Knicks fan, so I watch those. You know, I got the Ranger games on. I'll check out the national games. So I see him at, you know, once or twice a week, like you said, but I'm not watching every night like you.
Okay, so in the two nights that you watch him, hypothetically, when you're sitting there watching that guy play 40 minutes and do what he does, and he gets double teamed like nobody's business, he gets trapped like nobody's business, and he always, it's the most incredible thing to me, he always seems to, unless I'm crazy, he always seems 95% of the time to find a way out of problems, double teams, guys in his face, guys up in his grill, press, traps. It doesn't matter what you throw at him. He finds the guy to give the ball to get out of the problem. He'll either give it and go. He'll either give it, get it back. He'll either get it, screen, come off the screen. He'll either, you know, pick and roll. He'll do whatever, but he never seems to get trapped and, you know, caught and stopped and finished and done. I saw him the other night get a, you know, he got hammered, fouled. They reversed the call at center court when he fell and hurt his neck. That was the play he hurt his neck. That they said he wasn't fouled on that play is insanity. He got hit by both guys. He got his effing head jacked off, and he was laying on the court half dead, and they reversed the call and said no foul, which was, you know, another heinous, grievous error by the NBA refs, the hacks that they are. But I have never seen a guy get out of more trouble than this guy Harden. I've never seen a guy just constantly have to. I mean, he is absolutely haunted by defense and double teams and traps and pressure like no other. I mean, like, it's like in the NBA, they know if they don't come down on him with just gruesome defense and just pay attention to him the entire time he's on the floor, that they'll be crucified by a mafia. So, like, when I'm watching the guy play and get out of all these problems and still find the audacity to get to the tin and put the ball in on a floater or a teardrop or a scoop or a step back three dagger from the, you know, top of the key. I mean, it is truly remarkable to me how this guy finds his way into space to get off the shot and to score. It really is unbelievable. And so in those two nights that you watch him and you see him do all this stuff, what do you think of him? Do you just sit there and go, holy Shaq? What am I watching here? This guy's a freak.
I think he's an awesome player. You know, we've always known this guy's a great player. I think we're seeing it even more so now. Because I just said, you know, now we're even getting to see the leadership out of him that we didn't see. You know, again, when he was with those guys, CP3 is the leader of any team he's on. He might not be the best scorer, the best player. But, you know, even as we see in Phoenix, you know, the guy, and as we saw in OKC when he was there last year, like, the guy is the natural leader. You know, he's going to be the vocal one. He's going to be the one, you know, trying to talk you through things. So Harden didn't have to fill that role. And then that was maybe a little bit of why they started butting heads at the end. And, of course, you know, Westbrook just likes to run his mouth too. He's not a guy. I wouldn't call him a leader per se, but he thinks he is. So again, you know, with Kyrie not being a leader, you know, even admitting sometimes that he doesn't really know what he's doing with that, and KD not being there really, he's there in street clothes, but he's not on the court. You know, seeing him actually be a leader to these guys on the court is something different than we've gotten to see too, I think, than, you know, we saw in Houston with a lot of the players that he played with. I think these young guys, he's actually kind of relishing, you know, trying to show them the way as well.
So tonight after the game, I don't know if you knew this or not, but after the game, he actually, they started talking. It was such a chippy game, and it was so crazy that they started talking about him, to him in the interview. And he basically said, in not so many words, that, quote, "I am the MVP," end quote. Whether or not he belongs in the MVP conversation, he said, quote, "I am the MVP," end quote. And I got to tell you, I've been saying it. I've been saying it on Coast to Coast and For All on the Bench every night for a month. For a month, I've said he's the MVP. I said he was the MVP when LeBron was still healthy. I said he was the MVP ahead of all of them. Giannis, whoever else, JoJo Embiid. I thought Harden was the MVP when JoJo Embiid was healthy. When JoJo Embiid was in the lead for the MVP. I also think the conversation for me right now at this juncture, and people can laugh or say whatever they want, is that I think the conversation is between Joker and Harden and no one else. And people say I'm nuts. Well, here's the deal. Embiid is out. He's going to be out. Davis is not even in the conversation. He's missed too much time. Harden LeBron now is going to be out 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks at least. Therefore, you cannot miss 6 weeks in the middle of the season after the All-Star break toward the end when it's money time. It's money time now. From now until the end and then the playoffs is money time. And the award is based on the regular season. So when do they judge the most? The whole season. But they really judge in the money time, which is who's making the playoffs and who's getting their team to the playoffs and who's carrying their team. Who's the best player in the league? And I mean, you cannot even argue with me. I won't even listen to it. There's no one that's a better MVP candidate to me right now, hands down, than James Harden. I mean, honest to Christ, the guy has a triple-double every night. Double-double or triple-double every single night with amazing, like, phenomenal, like, outstanding numbers. Like, just sickening numbers every night. I mean, if you pull up his games one by one, for the last month And I'm not even, you go back to every game since he's been in Brooklyn. Look at his first game, he had a triple-double. Every single night he plays, he does something big. Every night. Even on his worst night, he does something big. He comes through every night with something big. And everyone around him is better because of him. Every single person on that team is better because of him. I mean, they got some hacks on that team that, like, I wouldn't spit on, like, you know, for their talent. Like, I just, I'm like, they're not even, you know. He's made Jeff Green look like, I mean, God. Harris is a great shooter, but he's even better now. I mean, Harris doesn't even have to lift a finger, doesn't even have to comb his hair. He just walks out on the floor and he gets the ball and scores because Harden gives him all these great passes. He's always standing wide open all alone. How stupid are teams that play the Nets? They never guard Joe Harris. The guy's shooting like 80% from three. I mean, the guy's the number one three-point shooter in the league. In every category of three-point shooting, in every single category, they actually have like five or six divisions of the three. Everything like when you shoot them, where you shoot them, at what point of the game you shoot them, blah, blah, blah. They have a million different angles on it. And Harris is the best, right? And then he's turned Harris into a rock star. And he's the high, you know, he's the definitive highest paid 3-point shooter in the league now. His contract is all about he's the best shooter. So he makes the most money for 3-point shooters. And then Brown, Bruce Brown's turned into a rock star. When he was in Detroit, he completely sucked. Now all of a sudden this guy's doing everything. And then Jordan, he's made him an absolute unstoppable big with the lob dunk again, like his days with the Clippers in Lob City. Now he's doing it with Griffin. And he's turned the guy that I blown away by more than all of them is what he's done for Claxton out of Georgia, the big power forward that they've turned into their new five. And then Tyler Johnson's a complete bum. You remember him playing in Miami? What a bum. Now he's now the guy's dropping double doubles every night. He's been fantastic. I mean, Tyler Johnson looks like an all-star playing with Harden. He gets all kinds of burn. He plays 28 minutes a game. He scores at will. He had like 8, 3, and 4 tonight. He's had 25-point games with Harden. TLC, he's been, you know, they don't use him enough. He played like 22 minutes tonight. He had 7, 6, and 1. But every single guy benefits from Harden. Every single guy. It's the craziest thing. It is the craziest thing. And that, to me, is the epitome of an MVP. He has carried that team on his shoulders. Irving and Durant never play because they're both peas. I mean, everybody knows it. Kyrie Irving takes a vacation every month. He's off 3 weeks a month. And then Kevin Durant's like, he's missed 19 straight games. Kevin Durant just doesn't play in the NBA anymore at all, ever. Harden, this is his team. He is the MVP. He's a badass. Know it. Live it. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
Mafia always tries to check in with me on family violence, and tonight Young Chop got smashed in the face or something playing. She got like a ball 100 miles an hour right in her nose, and it smashed her nose. It hit her so bad that her nose split open. Like, it didn't just break, it split open. So, like, her nose was like hanging off her face. And when she came home, I couldn't even believe what I saw. I mean, I saw the whole thing because they, like, filmed her when she got hurt. They were, like, filming her because she was gushing blood. So all these kids were, like, filming it, get off on it or something. I don't know. Like, somebody's injured and you're filming them.
Don't help.
You know what I mean? Great friends. Well, they're filming it so they think it's funny, apparently. But it wasn't funny. It was serious. And she came home and she was just covered in blood and her face was smashed open and her nose was, like, cut off. And I was like, what is happening here? I'm just like,
Who says soccer?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Like, it's already happened. Like, what am I going to do? Like, fix it? What am I, a doctor? So I am a doctor, though, on General Hospital weekdays at 3 on ABC. But anyway, that was the family violence segment of the show tonight. The daughter, young Chop, gets her face smashed in, and she has a gigantic broken nose or something now. There's been a lot of violence lately. One of our friends got injured, and she, like, broke her ankles, both of them, and had surgery to fix her broken ankles. Can you imagine breaking both your ankles at the same time? This chick can't walk or anything. She is completely screwed. It's just awful.